Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you are right about that. Clearly.
I am surrounded on every side. Can't see the light of day. But I am persuaded beyond all hope, you won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say. You will not be late. I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my
Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. And there's a reason why I played that clip by Joe Biden giving his State of the Union address and calling out the Supreme Court justices sitting there listening to him as everyone around them stood and clapped as he rebuked them. And of course, the more important issue is that President Joe Biden never saw an abortion he didn't love, it seems to me. And they're using, the left is using this issue, no doubt. They will use it like a hammer. They're counting on it on this upcoming election. Well, we're in the midst of the AFA Share-a-thon. The theme of it is that God is faithful. God is faithful. And God does dwell in the affairs of men. That's what Ben Franklin said, so it must be true. No, but it is true. God does dwell. In rulers, he puts rulers in place. He does care. And when it comes to the killing of the unborn, you bet he cares. You bet he cares. But God is faithful. We're surrounded by people. They have such loud voices, and they have the media. They have such loud voices that some of us who believe life is sacred feel a little overwhelmed right now. But that's not reality. That's an illusion. And no matter what we have to do or pay, what price we have to pay for our position on this, for our stand, for our conviction that life is sacred, we're going to pay it, right? Well, AFA is in the middle of this battle. And so much of it does center around the courts. You've seen that repeatedly. And today I want to tell you about something that they are doing that is jaw-dropping to affect the American court system. But first, I want to tell you, if you love AFA, if you love this podcast, or you enjoy it, or you feel that you benefit from it, the reason I'm able to do this is because of the support of AFR Talk, my equipment, my engineer Adam, everything that we do, it's because of AFR's support. I was a talk show for them for the morning show for 10 and a half years, and now I'm on the podcast, but they are still my partner. And so if you feel you listen to other things or you see the work of AFA, you get their magazine. And if you don't, this is kind of what I want to introduce you to today, but it's in the context of what they're doing on judicial nominations and on the courts, because that is a hot button for me. And I'm guessing it's a hot button for you. I'll tell you up front, if you would like to help them, go to AFR.net, AFR.net, or call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. God is faithful, and he uses his people to be salt and light wherever they are. It's been the case for 2,000 years. So let's be salt and light and call 877-616-2396 or go to AFR.net. This is Sandy Rios, of course, on Sandy Rios 24/7, and I always appreciate truly every single one of you for listening. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. You can listen on any podcast platform, especially afr.net. And you can go to my website, sandyrios.com, for easy listening. Matt and Arielle found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. They were scared and unsure what to do. But by God's divine providence, they found a preborn partner clinic. Once they were there, the staff comforted them and introduced them to their baby via ultrasound. In Arielle's own words, "It was awesome to see our daughter being formed inside me." Matt and Arielle said yes to life, and they look forward to a lifetime celebrating their baby girl. Well, of course, we're talking about the ministry Preborn, which provides those ultrasounds because of your generosity. So I know I'm asking for a couple of things today: help with AFR Talk, AFA, and of certainly ongoing help with Preborn. If you go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your best donation, $28 only pays for one ultrasound. But of course, any multiple of that will be wonderful. Just give what you're able to give to help save the lives of all these unborn babies. That's another way we can counter what our President Joe Biden had to say in that State of the Union address. Well, today I'm going to introduce you to this whole project that AFA is into, AFA Action is into, and that it's kind of a secret. I'm dangling it because it's wonderful. I heard about it this past week, and I couldn't wait to share it with you. I think you're going to be excited as I am. So take a pencil and paper, and let's listen to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Swear that the testimony you're about to give before this committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law.
I welcome everyone to this confirmation hearing on the nomination of
Mr.
Judge
Chairman.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chairman.
To serve as Associate Justice.
Mr. Chairman,
the
I'd like
Supreme
to be recognized
Court
for a question
States.
Before we proceed.
Regular order, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be recognized to ask a question before we proceed. The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome
to Judge
Kavanaugh.
We have not been given an opportunity to have a meaningful
his wife,
hearing
Ashley,
on this nominee.
There are two daughters.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with my colleague, Senator Harris. Mr. Chairman,
Judge
we received 42,000 documents that we haven't
and
been
everyone
able
else joining
to review
us
last
today.
Night. And we
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I hate to interrupt our Vice President Kamala Harris currently and Senator Grassley trying to maintain control. That was back in 2018 when Brett Kavanaugh was in a hearing before the Judiciary Committee. And I who forgets what a circus it was? We understand that our judiciary system is in disarray, and we're certainly feeling the effects of it now. How did these justices get there? Well, certainly we could ask how these senators got there, but that's not the discussion today. We're going to be talking about what we can do to change this process, how we can get judges in who are actually fair-minded, honest, follow the Constitution, fill in the blanks, all of that. That's what we need to do. But at the same time, I have to tell you that we are, AFA, American Family Association, is tackling this issue in such an incredible way. And that's what I want to introduce to you today in just a second. First of all, we are in the middle, and I say we because I've worked with American Family Radio an AFA for almost 11 years. And I've been with them through these share-a-thons. I've watched all the work that they've done. I've been part of it. But this new initiative, I'm very excited about. I want to say for this share-a-thon, because many of you, this is new to you. You don't know about this. But if you're going to give your money to something, I can't say enough about the work of the American Family Association. It is so broad, I think you probably have, many of you might not have any idea. They do a magazine. They have AFA Action, which does, you know, has thousands and thousands of people signed up to contact congressmen and senators. We have a news service, AFA News, AFR News is wonderful, led by Fred Jackson, who used to be with Canadian Broadcasting. There are so, and plus the radio station, that's how many of you know about it, and the podcast that I'm on. But AFA does a lot more than that. We're going to talk about it today. The verse, by the way, is God is faithful. God is faithful. It's 1 Corinthians 1:9, and he certainly is. And even though we're in times of turmoil, there are solutions, and I think God is at work trying to help us to counter some of the stuff we're facing. I want to just say up front, before I welcome Walker and Phil Jeregi, that you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or go to AFR.net to make your most generous donation. If this podcast has meaning to you, that's how we are able to do it. All of their facilities, the engineers, the technical in my office, all of these things in my studio, it wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the work of AFA. So if you'd like to help, call 877-616-2396 or go to AFR.net. All right, I'm totally off the charts excited about this. It's called the Center for Judicial Renewal. First of all, let me welcome Walker Wildman. Walker has a familiar name. Yes, he does. He's the vice president of the American Family Association. He's the CEO of AFA Action. And he has just brought to AFA some fresh blood and some great new ideas. And so, Walker, thank you for joining me.
Hey, Sandy. Good to be on your podcast and back on the microphone with you. It's been a while.
I'm sorry. I should know this. It wasn't in your bio. Your radio show, your daily show, it's what's it called?
At the Core, 1 o'clock Central.
At the Core. Okay, so we need to say that. So in fact, you're going to be going on the air shortly with our of course, this is a timeless podcast, but you have to go on the air soon, so we have to talk fast. At the Core is your show, 1 o'clock Central Time, every Monday through Friday on AFR.net. Walker, what is this all about, this Center mm-hmm. for Judicial Renewal? Can you just give us an overview of what you're trying to do?
Yeah, we've seen in the past, anybody who's paid attention to politics and government in Washington, D.C. knows how critical the Supreme Court is to the future of our nation and ruling on a litany of cases that affect our everyday lives. So the importance of the Supreme Court is pretty well established. 2016, people will say the Supreme Court vacancy was one of the key issues that sent President Trump to the White House. So everybody understands, most people understand the Supreme Court and the importance. But the issue in the past has been that evangelical Christians haven't been leading on this issue. We've been playing from behind, if you will, and we've been showing up at the game, to use a football analogy, just after halftime, and things are well underway. So our goal at the Center for Judicial Renewal is to be a leader on the issue of Supreme Court nominees and to do our own research and our own recommendations and to look at worldview, faith, of course, past rulings, a litany of issues, to help us ensure that the next president picks a solid constitutionalist justice.
Well, you've picked a great guy to lead this, at least lead this effort. Phil Jeregi is the senior counsel for AFA Action. He's the director of the Center for Judicial Renewal. I've known Phil for a very long time. He served and still does serve as the president of Judicial Action Group. He's been doing that since 2006, and that's probably when I first met him, maybe before that. Phil is very intent on bringing Judeo-Christian values to the judicial bench, but he is an attorney. He's licensed in Alabama. He's a graduate of Samford's University Cumberland School of Law, and he's also licensed to practice before the Supreme Court and the United States Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. So Phil, you've been at this for a long time. What is the fresh new thing you're trying to do with this?
Thanks, Sandy. The goal, as Walker said, is to make sure that we're working ahead of time. You know, when we look back historically at the justices that have been nominated by Republican presidents over, say, 50 years, we've gotten it right about 50% of the time. That's not good enough. The left gets it right 100% of the time. And so what we're doing is saying, okay, why have we missed it? Why have we failed? Let's learn from those failures, and then let's get the body of Christ involved constitutionally to work on this process early on. As Walker mentioned, we've got to start early. We can't come into the game after halftime. And the way to do that is to spend long hours doing research now, so that when a vacancy pops up, we're ready. And those names have already been shared with the key, you know, policymakers in the Senate, the president, and other conservative groups like ours. As you know, we're not the only players here. Our role is to be a servant, to serve other constitutionalists and conservative groups so that we can all be looking at the same names and hopefully drawing the same conclusions about who would be the next great justice on the Supreme Court.
Well, and to that, I'd say, you know, there's been a lot of confusion. This is an issue that I started working on when I was president of Concerned Women for America. That was after the board,
It was the Kennedy vacancy that Robert Bork was first nominated
Bork,
for, right?
Robert Bork, yes. It was Robert Bork's was so, that was the first time we saw a nominee so horribly treated. And by the way, our current president, Joe Biden, was the chairman of judiciary during that time. He was also the chairman of judiciary when Clarence Thomas went through his nightmare nomination. But we actually did attack this, and it was the first time ever, I think, that Christians got involved on the issue of judicial nominations. But now we've been asleep at the wheel again. So, Walker, there's no vacancy now in the Supreme Court. So why this now? Why now?
Yeah, what we realized, what Philip realized and others who've been in this space for a while, and I'm, of course, now feel like an expert on this, although I'm not, but is that a lot of the legwork, I would say 80 to 90% of the legwork on studying who would be a good Supreme Court pick for the next president, for a friendly administration, for a conservative administration, that all happens in the months and years prior. I mean, this isn't something where tomorrow we have a vacancy and then next week we decide we're going to start looking at who should fill it, and then the next week we fill the vacancy. There's just so much at risk that there's no way with wisdom to approach it in such a hasty manner. So what we're doing now and what we have done is we've researched, we have a list of 6 greenlisters. Philip can share a little bit about those, but we already have the names. We've already done over 10,000 hours of research. We're ready to go. Theoretically, if President Trump were to be reelected and his team wanted us at the table, you know, and there happened to be a vacancy in the first month or two of his administration, we're ready to go. We've got the greenlisters. We have the research. We've got everything that is needed to push a nominee through confirmation. And that's the importance of being ahead of the game, even though, to your point, currently today there is no vacancy.
Well, I want to illustrate why this is so important. I want to remind people that there have been some nominees. Do I need to remind people? Nominees by conservatives, especially Republicans, before they even claimed to be conservative, because they actually weren't. But we found that their judicial nominees, Sandra Day O'Connor comes to my mind. She was a Reagan appointee. A lot of tremendous disappointment. Some of our worst justices have been appointed by Republicans. And there's been some disappointments even more currently. And I want to give an example. Neil Gorsuch was appointed by President Trump. And I just want you to hear this this is MSNBC. This is a report on a decision he made that told us that he wasn't where we thought he was on this issue. This is clip one.
A case that we were just hearing about there, Bostock versus Clayton County, at issue in this decision, which was rendered by a vote of 63, and we'll get to the breakdown of that vote in just a moment, was whether the 1964 Civil Rights Act bars employment discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And we should note that this is a pretty significant case because it is the first case concerning LGBT rights in this country since the departure of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who was the critical swing vote when it came to marriage equality I think back in 2019, October 8th of 2019. Tom, let's talk about this vote. 6-3. Pete Williams, they're making the point that Neil Gorsuch joined Chief Justice John Roberts, appointed by President Bush, Neil Gorsuch appointed by President Trump, and joining the four other justices, the liberal justices of the court, to render this. Let's talk a little bit about that comparison my colleague Pete Williams made, which was that in some ways, by some analysis, this was a little bit more important than marriage equality, because as he noted, not every gay person in this country wants to get married, but had this decision not come out, gay people in this country could be fired from their jobs without protection. That is no longer the case.
Phil Geraghi, you and I were kind of there and present when Neil Gorsuch was nominated. And I remember suggesting him strongly based on information we'd gotten about him, trusting that he would not make this decision. How did that go so badly on that issue?
Yeah, I think the lesson we've learned here, Sandy, and we've learned a lot of them, you know, over the last generation, and we need to truly learn from them and incorporate a different approach so we don't repeat them. But the mistake that I think we all made with the Gorsuch nomination was that there was a very prominent person. I think many of the listeners wouldn't know the name because it's a real legal thinker that's not an everyday sort of conservative name. But there was somebody at the top that gave assurances to those of us that were looking at Gorsuch and said that he would never betray us. I think the exact quote was, he would never betray us on these issues that we care most about. That was directed at concerns that Neil Gorsuch went to a homosexual favorable church, or the church that favored gay marriage is a better way to say it. That was a concern. We were given assurances by a person that we all respected, and I still respect him, that he would never betray us on that issue. Of course, he did. And so, again, that takes us back to the whole reason that we're talking about this today when there's not a vacancy, and that is because we've decided, you know, personal endorsements are okay, they're fine, but it's no substitute for tens of thousands of hours of hard work and research and generating, you know, tens and hundreds of pages of documents to say, here's what we really find about this nominee or this prospective nominee. Let's base our opinion on that rather than just somebody coming in and giving us a verbal assurance at the last minute.
Could I just interject, because for listeners, a lot of times judges will make decisions that what we assume that they're conservative. And it's not just Supreme Court justices, but the other judges. They'll make decisions that we think are wrong or wrongly decided. But certainly where it comes to the Supreme Court, they do have to follow the Constitution. So sometimes the decisions they make will be contrary to our desires, and if they're faithfully following the Constitution, that will happen. But in the case of Gorsuch, that wasn't the case, and that's the kind of thing we're trying to ferret out, that people will bring their personal biases. It's almost impossible not to do that. But on the moral issues, we have to know kind of what their inclination is, and that's the reason we have gotten into so much trouble is because we didn't fully understand. Walker, what is the Center for Judicial Renewal doing to make sure? I mean, can you kind of flesh it out again? What are you guys doing to kind of understand where people really truly stand, if as much as you can?
Yeah, we're looking at, Philip did an entire speech, and we have the video on our website at afaaction.net, but it's called The 10 Principles of a Constitutional Judge, and we go through some of the more orthodox approaches to originalism and things like that, but there are three areas that are more new, if you will, that most legal scholars in the past wouldn't have looked at. They wouldn't have been on the table when looking at potential nominees for the Supreme Court. We're looking at faith and worldview. What is this individual's faith and worldview? Do they have a faith? Have they professed Christ as their Savior? We're looking at that. Where do they go to church? Even things like what's their personal life like? Do they have a good marriage, a reputable marriage in the community and with those that they are in contact with? But then lastly, and this one's really become more prevalent in 2024, in the last few years with all the, you know, political hit jobs that are out there, but courage. Does this individual for the Supreme Court have a record of displaying courage in the presence of tremendous pressure and intimidation and bullying? can this person withstand the pressure? Because as we've seen the last few years under Biden, the protest in front of the homes of justices, showing up at their children's school, you know, trying to assassinate them in the case of the suspect that was arrested in Virginia. Whoever goes to the Supreme Court has to be willing to withstand the pressure. So courage, faith, and worldview are really the three areas that are more new that we're looking at that will help us determine how the future justices will rule.
Phil, I know you have Walker has mentioned, and I know this, you have six green listers. Let me just say right up front, one of them is Morris Tan. Morris has been on my show a lot. People have gotten acquainted with him. He's the dean of the law school at Liberty University, North Korea, Korean by lineage, but American by birth. Just an incredible guy who has a ton of courage. You've already learned that. You might want to say more about him, but also can you, I don't know if it's valuable for you to mention the other five names, whatever you think. Tell us about those six green listers as best you can.
Great. Sandy, there's six green listers. You mentioned Morris Tan. I'll also mention another dean of High Point University New Law School, Dean Mark Martin. He was formerly the dean at Regent Law School and before that was the Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court for quite a while. Another one is Kristen Wagner. Kristen is the CEO, the president of Alliance Defending Freedom, the largest pro-family, conservative, pro-life legal organization in the United States. Now, Morris Tan and Kristen Wagner have not previously served on the bench. That's not a requirement constitutionally. And we can see that because Elena Kagan, who's currently a justice, when she went on to the bench, the U.S. Supreme Court, she had never been a judge either. So these folks would qualify. The more traditional picks, though, would be those that are presently serving on an appellate court, a United States appellate court. And there are three of those. One is Judge James Ho. He's on the Fifth Circuit. When we talk about courage, as Walker talked about, James Ho is perhaps one of the most courageous. And we base that on evidence, right? Not just someone saying it, but what do we see in their record? James Ho has a great record, but he also has a great record of courage. Another one is Kyle Duncan. He's on the Fifth Circuit. Kyle Duncan also has a great record, and there's great evidence of courage. And then the final one is Judge Lawrence Van Dyke. He's on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has a pretty bad reputation, of course, out there on the left coast. But Judge Van Dyke has a great record serving on that bench, and he's the sixth person on our green list.
Okay, so this is Charathon for AFA. And yes, I would talk about this with these guys anyway. But if you're wondering if you should give your money to the American Family Association or AFR Talk, I wanted you to understand what they're doing. This takes hours and hours and hours. And this is a real solution to what's happening in our judiciary. It's not just the Supreme Court, it's lower courts as well that they're working on. And so they need your help. And this is where part of where your money would go to. You just have to call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 or go to afr.net, afr.net, and make your most generous donation for all the reasons we've talked about, but for this one, for sure. Walker, before I have to let you go to do your show, and it's At the Core that starts at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time for AFR Talk Monday through Friday. Walker, you have some other things that you're doing that I was so impressed with. I heard your presentation a few days ago at the AFA retreat. Tell us about some of the other things that, well, I'll jump in. Yeah. I will ask you a specific. I love the fact that you are creating and helping with legislation for states around the country on various issues. Can you just say a word about that?
Yeah, this is a newer part of our work over at AFA Action, but we're actually writing model legislation that helps advance families, advance life, and protect religious liberty and protect our young people. And just a few areas that we're going into on this model legislation, which some of our model bills have actually become law now and are on the books in multiple states. But were really going after the pornography industry. I mean, Sandy, you and my grandfather Don and others spoke out on this back decades ago when a lot of people weren't paying attention to it, and where it was more soft porn in the aisle when you're checking out at the gas station. But now it's just rampant. The pornography out there is rampant. It's widely available to young people, and it's very toxic and devastating. It has terrible effects, and that's not even touching on the moral effects and the what it does spiritually to people. But nonetheless, we're approaching the war against pornography by trying to protect our young people first. Of course, pornography is immoral. It's wicked. It attacks at the heart of God's created order with man and woman marriage. But it is particularly damaged to young people whose brains are still developing. So we're targeting pornography by requiring age verification in various states. So what this means is you have to actually enter in your government ID when you're on a pornography website in the states where we have this model legislation passed. And as a result, we've seen Pornhub, the largest porn provider online, actually shut down their operations and their IP address in some of the states where we've seen this legislation pass through. So that's a great bill. It's aimed at protecting our young people and protecting our innocence. And we actually have some teeth to it. Instead of this just being, you know, this legislation with no teeth, it's more symbolic and doesn't actually do anything. Our legislation is actually enforceable through civil and criminal means.
Smart fighting. I love smart fighting. So this is great.
One other bill I want to mention, Sandy, and then I'll let you jump in here. But the children's health records, this is kind of a new battleground, a new front. But we're seeing medical systems that are blocking parents' access to their child's medical records. And as we know today, children are dealing with a litany of issues, both physical, emotional, spiritual. And the last thing we need happening is parents having to fight and claw to have access to their child's medical records. So in this era of transgenderism and confusion and depression and anxiety, we're passing laws to make sure that parents have access to their child's medical records all the way through 17 years old. We're doing that in Mississippi and other states as well.
I want to mention one important one right now, and that's iVoter Guide. AFA has actually purchased iVoter Guide, or folded it in to American Family Association. AFA Action, I suppose, right, Walker?
That's right.
And AFA iVoter Guide, tell them just briefly what's unique about that voter guide.
Yeah, we're producing the most expansive and really broad voter guide in the country from a Christian perspective. So we're looking at over 13,000 candidates going to be researched this 2024 cycle alone, tens of thousands of hours of research, and we're actually placing an evaluation all the way from verified conservative to verified liberal. So we're telling you the probability of how they're going to vote should they get into public office. We have campaign finance records there, how they voted in the past, who's endorsed them, and very many other areas. So iVoterGuide.com is that. We're expecting to impact over 10 million voters just this cycle in 2024.
You know, I remember in 2016, AFA was listed, and I wish I could remember, we were like one of the top groups in the country that influenced people for voting in the 2016 election for all offices, you know, all down the pike. And I think it was I think it was Newsweek. It was a credible. I was so proud of that, Walker, mm-hmm. because we work hard and it's hard to measure, but I don't think people understand, unless they listen to AFR talk, how widespread and how influential AFA can be. It's a vessel that God uses to yeah. affect culture, and for a good reason. And if you'd like to help, go to 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or go to AFR.net. And one last thing, Phil, any last word about this Center for Judicial Renewal that we didn't mention?
Sure. Thank you. I'm glad you asked, Sandy, because here's what I wanted to say. You were talking earlier about the influence of the judiciary, and I think it's pretty easy for people to see how to influence two out of the three branches of government. Of course, there's the legislative branch, Congress. People, you know, ask questions of their local representatives. They give to political campaigns. There are a lot of things practically that people just know that they can do. The same is true of the second branch of government, you know, impacting who the president will be, talking about it, voting, giving money, But when it comes to the third branch, a lot of people care about it. But if you ask them, what can you do to impact it? They might shrug their shoulders and say, I really don't know. I can complain. But what can they do proactively? And I would say what they can do is give to AFA Action, because as they've heard today, we're spending a lot of time and effort and research and work finding the names, building the coalition so that when the next justice or two is put on the court, we have a seat at the table, and hopefully we make sure that that's going to be a great justice who will serve on the court for another generation and be making rulings that are impacting our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So the third branch of government is incredibly important. It deserves that same amount of time and finances. And so if folks will support AFA Action, that'll help us do our part.
Okay, that's Phil Jauregui, Senior Counsel of AFA Action, also the Director of the Center for Judicial Renewal for AFA Action. And Walker Wildman, the Vice President of the American Family Association and the CEO of AFA Action, doing some great things in honor of his grandfather's great work that he started such a long time ago. He was a good friend of mine, by the way. This whole share-a-thon is taking place in his honor. If you want to give, go call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or go to afr.net. This has been Sandy Rios, 24/7.
Meanwhile, this President Biden still facing criticism from several top Republican lawmakers after vowing to only consider a black woman to nominate to fill the upcoming vacancy on the Supreme Court. The backlash comes as a recent ABC Ipsos poll finds a majority, 76% of voters, think the president should consider all nominees, regardless of gender and race. The new data comes as President Biden met with Senators Dick Durbin and Chuck Grassley of the Senate Judiciary Committee to speak with them about possible nominees for the seat being vacated by retiring Justice Stephen Breyer.
All right, that's a report from Newsmax. And, you know, certainly we understand, don't we? That I'm not sure everyone does, because we've morphed into this. The person has to fit a certain category. It's color or gender or nationality or left or right, whatever. We have to find a person that fits this profile. It doesn't matter if they're the best justice or if they're the best judge. All that matters is, you know, it's a woman or it's someone, you know, it's she's Hispanic, she's Chinese, or she's black, or he is, or whatever. I mean, it's this is a really upside down way, and that's part of choosing people that are supposed to be the most highly qualified judicial experts in our country to make important decisions that affect all of our lives. And so that's part, I know, of what the Center for Judicial Renewal will be trying to do, is choosing people irregardless of these particulars, these outside factors that have nothing to do with the inside of a person. You know, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, whether they're black or white or whatever, or female or male. But God looks on the heart. So this is what I think the Center for Judicial Renewal is trying to do in a practical way in terms of selecting judges that we think we can trust. You can understand now, I think, why this is so important. We've sort of been burned. Amy Coney Barrett has been a bit of a disappointment. I'm not saying everything's bad, and I'm not saying I'm giving up on her. And Neil Gorsuch, same thing. He makes some decisions that are good. But why do we have to settle for uncertainty? We have in Sam Alito, he's just a man of character. He's the one who, you know, penned the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And as a, you know, his thanks for that was to get death threats. They don't talk too much about him, but he and his wife have paid a heavy price for his stand on that too. But he's like John Eastman, unrelenting, because he believes that life is sacred. Justice Thomas, it's the same way. These are the two stalwarts. Why can't we have more stalwarts? Why do we have to settle for people that waffle, like the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who's all over the map, but now we kind of pretty reliably can expect him to vote with the left? How did that happen? He's supposed to be a strong Catholic with strong moral views and certainly a strong mind, you know, strong, able to make good decisions and stick to them. So we're trying to, AFA is trying to help with the process. And trust me, President Trump, if he should be elected, will need all the help he can get. And he needs other sources than the sources that he's used in the past that have given us some uncertain nominees. I think in the past, you know, we've in a way settled for Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was not strong. We knew that. but he was kind of like the best we could get. I'm sorry, that's probably insulting to people listening, but you know, I thought during his hearing, I was, you know, he was pretty steadfast. He was sad, but then when he got in, he was a little bit shy and did not do some things he should have done. We need men of courage and women of courage. We need both types. And so that's what the Center for Judicial Renewal is trying to do. If you feel like, as I do, that that's an incredibly important role to play in our culture right now, would you help AFA? You just go to AFR.net and give your most generous donation, AFR.net, or call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. There are many reasons, of course, good reasons, to give to the American Family Association or American Family Radio. Maybe the podcast itself. I can't do this without the help of the American Family Association or AFR Talk. They're the same branches of the same organization. I couldn't do what I do without their help. And if you appreciate the show or the other shows that you hear, if you listen to the network or have the app, AFR Talk, if you have that app, you know what I'm talking about. They have a whole music channel on the app that plays very carefully selected, beautiful Christian music 24/7. They have a talk channel, which is what I'm on. So you get both great teaching, because you get great preaching also, in addition to the music on the talk channel. You get really great teaching. It's one of my favorites on Sunday morning. And so all of these things, a magazine, all the work that American Family Association does and AFR Talk does, a lot more than I've even gotten to here, is worthy of your support. And it's because of your support that we're able to do what we do. So again, I ask if you could call 877-616-2396 or go to AFR.net and make your most generous donation.
I am surrounded on every side. Can't see the light of day. But I am persuaded beyond all hope. You won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say. You will not be late. I will sing through fire and thunder, 'cause you are on my side. I trust you with my life. I know my story, it isn't over. Against all odds, you are a faithful God. You're faithful God.
All right, this is a Share-a-thon week for the American Family Association and AFR Talk. And that verse, you are a faithful God, is 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful. I've certainly found him to be faithful all the years that I've served him. The more I serve him, the more faithful he seems to be. And so he's faithful in countries, and he hears people's prayers. He cares what's happening to you. And so I just ask that you would continue to support the American Family Association by going to AFR.net or calling 877-616-2396. Well, this is, of course, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call me, and I love hearing from you at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net, or you can go to sandyrios.com and listen to the podcast, or more importantly, go to afr.net. That's the podcast platform and the radio shows for American Family Radio. And before I say goodbye to you, remember that we also are partners with Preborn. And if you have the means to do more than $28 for an ultrasound, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a larger way? It's a tax deductible, and a tax deductible donation of $5,000 would sponsor Preborn's entire network of 24 hours to help rescue about 200 babies. And if you'd like to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.